Bevor es losgeht, ein kurzer Spot.
Bald starten ja wieder die Grand Tours mit viel sportlichem Ehrgeiz, medialer Berichterstattung und leider auch mit schlimmen Stürzen. Die Teilnehmenden sind hoffentlich gut abgesichert, denn im schlimmsten Fall müssen sie ihre Karrieren beenden, weil der Sturz es unmöglich macht, weiterhin zu fahren. Aber nicht nur im Sport, auch in jedem anderen Beruf kann eine Berufsunfähigkeitsversicherung sinnvoll sein. Der digitale Versicherungsmanager Clark kann euch helfen, die richtige Versicherung zu finden und schlägt euch passende Versicherungen vor. Und wenn ihr euch die Clark-App holt und zwei eurer bestehenden Versicherungen hochladet, dann schenkt euch Clark mit dem Code ANTRITT34 einen 30-Euro-Shopping-Gutschein. Den Link findet ihr in den Shownotes.
Antritt. Alles zum Thema Fahrrad bei Detektor FM. Präsentiert von Rose, die Bike-Experten.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen hier zum Antritt-Bonus-Track im März 2017. In der vergangenen Ausgabe haben wir ja mit dem Fahrradaktivisten Keith Laughlin in den USA gesprochen. Und jetzt reist Angela Merkel zu Donald Trump. Er hat in dieser Woche angekündigt, die Ausgaben für Wissenschaft, Diplomatie und den öffentlichen Rundfunk massiv zu kürzen. Und viele Fahrradaktivisten fragen sich, was macht eigentlich die Trump-Regierung mit der aufblühenden Fahrradkultur? Sind heute schon konkrete Folgen fürs Fahrradfahren, die Fahrradpolitik oder für Fahrradfahrerinnen und Fahrradfahrer in den USA absehbar? All das diskutieren Gerolf Meyer und ich mit Keith Laughlin in diesem Podcast-Bonus-Track, denn er hat einige Jahre im Weißen Haus und im Council on Environmental Quality gearbeitet und ist seit 2001 Vorsitzender der Rails to Trails-Organisation. Diese setzt sich für die Fahrradinfrastruktur auf alten Eisenbahntrassen ein. Er ist also ein echter Insider, wenn es um Infrastruktur, Fahrradfahren allgemein und den Politikbetrieb in Washington geht. Das gesamte Gespräch kann man jetzt also hier im englischen Original nachhören. Die übersetzte Version gibt's übrigens auf der Webseite detektor.fm oder in eurem Podcast-Player in der März-Ausgabe vom Antritt. Ich habe Keith Laughlin als allererstes in dem Gespräch mal gefragt, was die Trump-Regierung eigentlich konkret für das Fahrradfahren in den USA bedeutet.
That is remains an open question. I think we're in uncharted territory here where we really don't have a good feel for if they will be positive or negative or neutral. And so we hope over the course of the next couple of weeks we'll begin to get a better understanding of whether or not they're going to be a positive or a negative force for cycling.
Are there any hints or tendencies?
At this point, the president's comments on transportation have been very vague in terms of support for increased spending on infrastructure. But in terms of defining what that means, does that mean roads only? Does that mean walking, biking, and roads? That is not at all clear. It is expected that the new president is going to release some details on his budget in the next couple of days. That will give us a much clearer indication of what direction he might be moving in.
The new head of the EPA is denying climate change and sued the EPA multiple times. He's closely linked to the gas and oil industry. Research budgets are set to be cut and President Obama's action against climate change is threatened to be rolled back. In that context, pronounced support for cycling doesn't seem too probable. Is cycling threatened by those radical steps and proposals?
I can see how you could reach that conclusion, but at this point, what isn't clear is we might be able to fly entirely under the radar. At the present time, we only receive about 2 cents of every dollar that is spent on surface transportation spending in the U.S. Goes to walking or biking. And so it's very possible that we may just get ignored and be a small detail in the new president's transportation priorities. We don't at this point anticipate sort of having a target on our back, but we really won't know until we see some more details coming out of the administration.
What kind of leverage does the current administration have into cycling initiatives? Because policies and projects on a state or local level are not the business of the president, or?
Well, I think that there is huge support for cycling at the state and local level, and that will continue. The question that's unknown at this point is the extent to which that local level support will be supported by federal investment. Traditionally, we've had significant money coming through the federal transportation budget that has supported bicycle and walking infrastructure over the course of the last 25 years. And so it would be that federal support that we would be looking to continue. But you're correct in indicating that so much of this is already local, that there's no way that the administration would really have the leverage to stop it. It's a question of whether or not they would withdraw some of their support.
You already mentioned that Trump promised massive investments in infrastructure. Could that include cycling? How probable would that be, cycling infrastructure? And could the bike profit from that in the end?
Well, that is our hope. And that is what we have been lobbying the new administration on. We have been encouraging them to define infrastructure broad enough that it would include investments in walking and biking and trails as part of that infrastructure investment. And so we'll just have to wait, I think, a few more days to see whether or not the president defines infrastructure that way or if he's only defining it to include highways.
So what do you expect in the near future concerning cycling politics in the U.S.?
I think that we're in the middle of a cycling boom in America where I don't think cycling has ever been more broadly popular, and the amount of cycling that you can witness, particularly in our cities, has increased dramatically over the course of the last 5 years. And I don't think there's going to be anything that is going to be able to stop that. I think that is something that is just increasingly becoming part of our culture. In many ways, we want to become more like Europe. You are our models for what we would like to have in terms of a multimodal transportation system. But I think the question is how quickly we can get there, and we can get there more quickly if the federal government is supporting that effort as opposed to eliminating the support that it has provided traditionally over the last 25 years.
How is the atmosphere among cyclists and cycling initiatives in the U.S. under the new administration? Did it change compared to the Obama years?
I think there's a lot of just big questions right now. I don't think people know enough to have a clear understanding if it has changed dramatically. The Obama administration was very supportive of cycling, and I don't think anyone expects it to remain, that level of support to remain that high. But there's just a lot of questions about whether or not we can apply enough pressure to the new administration and to the Congress to continue that federal support. And I just would really emphasize that point in that we have been, and when I say we, I mean our organization as well as our movement, have been really successful in increasing support for cycling in recent years. And we've got more political clout, than we ever used to. And so I think that people on Capitol Hill, people in the federal agencies understand that. And so I think there will be a real reluctance to cut our programs.
You are president of the Rails to Trails Conservancy. What does your organization do and how is it financed?
Our organization, we're 30 years old, and our mission is to transform unused rail corridors into multi-purpose trails for walking and for biking. When we originally opened our doors, there were about 250 miles of open rail trail in America. And today there's more than 22,000 miles of trail that is used by people for walking and biking and skating in communities across America. Our funding comes entirely from our supporters, and that those are primarily individuals. We have 160,000 members and supporters that support our organization. And so our funding does not come from the government. It comes from individuals who support our organization.
So if I understand that right, you are independent from the money and the budget and the fundings and the cuts that maybe could be made by the new administration, right?
Those cuts would not affect our organization directly in terms of our budget, but they do affect us dramatically in terms of our ability to do our mission, because it is primarily public money, which is a combination of local, state, and federal, that is used to build the cycling infrastructure that we advocate for. So while the cuts would not affect our organization directly. It could have a dramatic effect on our organization's ability to fulfill its mission.
So the trails you create, where are they? Is that mainly kind of an inner city, short distance commuting connections, or are these regional trails or even long distance trails? How can we think of that?
It's all of the above. Our trails traverse the American landscape from the center of our center cities out through suburbs into rural areas. And so some are, you know, as small as 2 or 3 miles that are just connecting people to places in their neighborhoods. And we have some that are a couple hundred miles that connect many communities together. And our goal as an organization is to create a national network that is linking communities, you know, people to places within communities and between communities. One of our ultimate goals is to build a cross-country trail east to west across the United States.
How would you say, how far are you with your mission?
As I said, we've helped to build more than 22,000 miles of trail, and I think that we are well on our way towards our mission, but we are continually raising the bar in terms of what it is we are trying to achieve. And we are increasingly focused on creating seamless networks of trails within our metropolitan regions, as well as trails that connect our metropolitan regions. So I think we have at least 20 more years of work ahead of us.
You have worked for the House of Representatives and under the Clinton and Gore administration for the Council on Environmental Quality. What made you change jobs, and what made you change to Rails to Trails?
Well, when I was working in the White House, a lot of my work was focused on how we create more livable, sustainable communities. And I was working on that for several years for Vice President Gore, but it was rather abstract work. And I found that the mission of Rails to Trails allowed me to pursue that same idea of creating livable and sustainable communities, but in a way that it was very tangible, and that we can really see the impact on quality of life and on the environment and on the economy of the trails that we have helped to build in local places. So it's, for me, it has been very satisfying to move from that abstract national policy to something where we see the purpose of our work is to really improve the quality of people's day-to-day lives.
If I'm not mistaken, I got the impression that you are a little bit worried about the new administration, the Trump administration. And if so, how much?
We are somewhat worried. I think that our movement in terms of the trail and bike movement is very strong across the country. And I think that progress towards our mission is inevitable. It's just that we can get there faster if we have the federal government as a willing partner that is supporting this kind of effort. And at this point, we really don't have any clear signals, either positive or negative, as to where the new administration may stand on policies related to improving cycling in America.
Will we see a more progressive politics from the White House again? And when will that be? What's your guess?
The crystal ball is very cloudy. It's very possible that we could have a change of administration in 4 years, or it's possible that this new administration could be reelected in 4 years. And so we're really in this for the long haul. And part of what we try to do is to strengthen our movement. So even if we don't have strong support at the national level, we will continue to make progress moving ahead to improve trails and improve cycling at the local level. So one way or another, we will succeed in achieving our mission.
Speaking of support, is there any way that cyclists from Europe and maybe from Germany can support you and can support cycling in the U.S.?
Well, I think that anything that raises the profile of cycling and how important that it is to really creating a thriving, healthy community helps us make our case. And we will often point to Europe as examples where you have a much larger mode share in terms of your percentage of your transportation trips that are taken by bicycle as a model for what the U.S. can do. So I think that anything that Europeans can do to help us better understand how important it is to you and the success that you have enjoyed helps us make the case here in the U.S. for why this is really worthy of increased public investment.
Das war also unser Podcast-Bonus-Track im März 2017 mit Keith Laughlin. Die nächste reguläre Ausgabe gibt es dann am 6. April 2017. Wir freuen uns natürlich weiterhin über positive Bewertungen bei iTunes, übers Weitersagen, und ich verabschiede mich auch im Namen von Gerolf und sage bis bald.
Alles zum Thema Fahrrad bei Detektor FM. Präsentiert von Rose, die Bike-Experten.